Hi, my name's Ralph Bogard, and I'm in I Should Be So Lucky, the musical.
I've seen this musical when it was in Wimbledon. I'm going to go see it again when it comes to Woking. Really looking forward to this. I mean, what's not to like? The music just says it all, really. Stock Aitken and Waterman, absolute classics. And as they say on the posters, banger after banger after banger. You've crammed so many songs into it, haven't you?
I know we have loads of songs from Stock Aitken Waterman. I mean, there's such a plethora of hits to choose from. We actually had songs that were in during rehearsals and then came out, but I think we've got an amazing selection of songs in the show now that everyone is going to be really excited about. Some real like deep cuts as well that you may not have expected.
Yeah, this coming out in every direction. It's brilliant. And I love how the story is written as well. Kind of almost like you're leading into these songs, and sometimes you think, yeah, they're going into this song. But sometimes, as you say, there's some surprises along the way.
Yeah, the thing that Debbie did, Debbie Isett, who directed and created the show, she works really well at figuring out how to seamlessly work the songs into the story. And we created the story together and worked out how things would really flow. So it doesn't feel too clunky, you know, when sometimes you see a show and it's like, oh, we need to put this song in. I think it really works here. The stories do move the songs, sorry, really do move the story along. And it feels really fun, and it seems to make sense. It's like these songs were meant to be in a musical. There are story songs, like Stock Aitken Waterman really did write a lot of story songs, so it really lends itself to being in a musical.
And like many of us, I would imagine you would have grown up listening to these songs. So I mean, that must be a dream come true for you to be on stage in this sort of show.
Absolutely. I remember when it came about that I was going to be doing this, I just thought to myself, wow. I remember sitting in my lounge, you know, playing my Kylie album on cassette tape and prancing around the room and living my best fantasy. And then, you know, who'd have thought many years later I'd be standing in a room rehearsing a musical, singing those songs, and Kylie Minogue actually being there. It
I
was
know.
quite an experience, and to do it on stage every day, knowing that these songs really do bring out an inner joy, and seeing the faces of the audience, they are having a nostalgia fest watching and hearing these songs. It's you can see everyone's face go, oh yeah, I love this one, and seeing us all dance and sing and tell a story through them. It's such a wonderful experience for the audience and also for us, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the audience are enjoying it. You can sort of feed off that as cast on stage, can't you? I'd imagine.
Absolutely. I think it's a real rarity to be able to go to work every day and be lifted by the people that are being, you know, entertained by us. It's not an easy thing to tour the UK, right? And we
No.
do a show 8 times a week. But let me tell you right now, the energy that comes from the audience because of the show and the energy and the joy it brings them is given back to us. So it's a really collaborative experience with the audience and us, because everyone's on their feet at the end and we're knackered and we're on our feet even harder because the audience is giving us so much joy and energy. And I know that that's what they're getting from us too.
And I love the use of screens with Kylie Minogue kind of being there on the screen. I mean, that's brilliant. That's really in the
Oh, yeah.
video. That's brilliant.
I mean, it's a bit of a coup to get, you know, Dame Kylie herself on the stage. You know, who'd have thought Kylie Minogue would be going to Woking?
I know.
Amazing.
Imagine that. Yes. I mean, Carly as well. I mean, she's just really, from those early days in the 80s in Neighbours to where she is now, winning the Global Icon Award at the Brits. I mean, that's been an amazing journey for her. And she always seems to reinvent herself and move with the times, isn't she?
Absolutely, she does. I think the thing about Kylie is that she is really focused and really loves and cares about what she does. You know, when she came into rehearsals, because she did rehearse with us to film the bits that she's in, you know, she really needed to understand what the show was about so she could really do it justice. And she really, her performance within the show really works, in my opinion. And I think it just shows it isn't just like someone coming in and doing a little message at the end. She is a character throughout the show, and people really respond to that. And it's not just Kylie. Kylie isn't great and fabulous, but we have so many other like musical artists involved with the show. You know, the songs are so iconic, like Rick Astley, Sonya, Hazel Dean, Mel and Kim. You know, all of these amazing artists that Stock Aitken and Waterman made famous and, you know, created amazing songs for that have lasted the test of time. So much so that now 30 odd years later, we're on stage to these singing and performing to these sellout audiences, and everyone's having a great time because they all know the words and they're singing and dancing at the end.
Yeah, so what was it like? I mean, Kylie coming to rehearsals, so you would have got to meet her. What was that like? That must have been an interesting experience.
I mean, it was a shock. Experience. Sure, when she was coming in, she came in and I had a bit of a gasp. I went, but she was so kind and so sweet, and she was just so generous with herself. Like, don't forget, she came in and she's got the Las Vegas residency. Her song "Padam" had just got to number one that week. You know, her whole career is blowing, having another renaissance, which is just lovely, and it just so happened to work out with this wonderful, fun, you know, joyful show. And I think that's the thing, you know, when artists really believe in themselves and believe in the work they do and respond to the audiences they have, and Kylie has a really loyal fan base, you know, they follow her throughout her career. You can't lose, you know? And I think she really has proven that. And this show is a celebration of not just her, but that era of music that we hold dear to our hearts and have lived with and still carry with us and pass down to generations, you know? And that's why this show works for everyone. It's not just a nostalgia piece. It really has it's really resonated with people of all generations. Our audiences are so diverse and they have a great time.
Yeah, it definitely shows as well. You know, when I was sort of in Wimbledon, everyone was, you know, start off, you know, people sitting down, you know, as you do at the theatre, waiting for something, and then suddenly, oh yeah, we're going to get up, we're going to dance, and everyone's dancing. It was just a real party atmosphere. And I just wonder what you know, we know nostalgia is very much in fashion at the moment, but what is it about, you know, the 80s, in particular Stock Aitken and Waterman, what is it that makes it so iconic, do you think?
Well, I think you have to think back to the time when that music started to come out. It really was a change in pop. Pop didn't really have that sound. And I think Stock Aitken and Waterman really knew that times were changing, culture and youth culture was changing. And they leaned into, you know, they looked into different areas of the world and the club scene that was emerging at the time, and knew that that was something that was going to stay with people. So they went out to various different places and clubs, and they really did. And they openly say they went to like the gay music scene at the time, and really drew from that and understood that pop music could be about something more than being twee and being innocent and sweet. It could be a bit, you know, cheekier. It could be a bit more exciting and have a bit more like, you know, beat to it. And they really layered that up. And I think, when you take chances like that, it works, that's why people respond to it. Because, you know, music, as we've seen over the years, from the 50s when youth culture first started all the way through to now, music does change with the world that we're in. The thing about good songs and songs that tell a story is they last the test of time. And that's what Stock Aitken and Waterman music does.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just thinking to my record collection, I think I've got some Kylie albums on vinyl. certainly some of the Now albums, those early Now albums. And I think going back to listening to music on vinyl as well, you can open up the cover, you can look at the pictures, and you've actually got a product in your hand. And you don't get that so much now with, like, when you go on iTunes and download a song, do you?
That's true. You're absolutely right. I think there is a resurgence, though, in physical media. You know, vinyl has really exploded over the last few years. Even cassette tapes are having a resurgence. I know many major artists now are re-releasing their materials back catalog on cassette tapes because people do want to feel like they have a part of that artist. It's not just the music. It's the artwork that goes around it, you know, in the inlays and all of that. Even the cassettes or the vinyl or the CDs themselves are pieces of art that the artists and have really developed. And I think we now in a society know that things move fast. And if we have something we can hold in our hand tangibly, that's something that people really respond to. But that's why what I love about this show is that, you know, we're seeing a piece of something that we love, a music that we love, in a different way, so we can feel it again with a different viewpoint. And that's what we get to do on stage with our story in I Should Be So Lucky.
And a really, really well-written story, as we've discussed, follows a couple being jilted at the altar, and then sort of a sunshine holiday, and my favorite, not to give too much away, but a hot air balloon. I love that. That's brilliant.
Well, you know, we have to have some special effects in the show, of course.
We won't spoil it for everyone. Away.
But yeah, but it's a story about love in all its aspects. You know, you have obviously the jilted love at the beginning, and the kind of reclaiming of love, or you know, the unrequited love, or the, you know, the love that is harder to find. You know, it's that's what the show is about. And Debbie really worked hard, and George, our musical supervisor, really worked hard in creating a story and the songs within them to really reflect, you know, that, and show that the show has a really amazing cast. Like, I'm so honored and blessed to be working with such an incredible creative team and cast on stage. They're all so amazingly talented. I have to lift my jaw up every night when I see some of the performances. I stand in the wings sometimes and watch some of the performances, because they're just excellent, reinterpreting these songs, or just you know, giving it so much joy and love. It's a wonderful experience.
So tell me about your character. You play Hassan. Could you tell me a bit about
yes. him? Well, Hassan is, so Ella, the bride, is jilted at the altar. And instead of just wallowing in sadness, her family convince her that she should go on a honeymoon to Turkey with them and her best friends instead. So they all go to this romantic honeymooner resort in Turkey. And I'm not giving anything too much away. It's very obvious. And at the resort, Hassan has this wonderful spa retreat, you know, a Turkish hammam. And he there provides a lovely, you know, restorative treatments, let's just say, to a number of the cast, especially one of the bridal party who he finds a lovely and unique connection with. I'll just leave it there.
We'll have to come and see it in Woking to find out more, and to experience this, because I think I've been telling everybody, you know, it's just something you have to go and see. Whether you're a fan of Stockhagen and Waterman or not, I mean, it's something for everyone, isn't it?
Indeed, it is. Like I say, the audiences are so diverse, and even people that maybe don't know the songs or aren't familiar with Stockhagen Waterman, they're seeing a fabulous show with a lot of, you know, heart and energy and talent. You know, I've never been part of a production where every single performance, every person is up on their feet, dancing and singing, and just with giant smiles on their faces. It's just a phenomenon. And I'm really hoping that everyone down in Woking and everywhere else across the UK can get to experience it, because who doesn't need a little bit of joy and uplift in their lives these days?
Exactly. And one thing I will say, when we left the theatre in Wimbledon, when I saw it back in January, we found ourselves headed to the nearest supermarket to buy some Carly wine. That's mentioned quite heavily as well, isn't it?
You can buy it in the theatre as well whenever you come to see the show.
Yes. We're happy to join the show as well. Ralph, we will look forward to seeing you in Woking next week.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it. And I hope to see all of your listeners there in Woking.
Absolutely. We're a good party lot in Woking. So
yeah, I'm sure you are.